Cobra!
This conversation is an excuse for
Cobra!
A couple of friends to get together and
Cobra!
Okay, wait.
Cobra!
Oh.
Cobra!
All right, it's Cobra Convergence Month, and it's taking over our conversation.
Cobra!
There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Cobra Convergence has spread far and wide. This is the Order of Cobra Convergence Battle.
Cobra!
It's July, it's Cobra Convergence 6. This year, it's all about weird. And when we sat down and started going back and forth about weird, you know, it was easy to fall into conversations about contraptions and devices and schemes and plots through all the different cartoons and movies, and we start to lose the thread, not just of the weird, but how are we supposed to remember everything we said when we should have turned the mics on hours ago? And suddenly we come back to the fact that we collect different sculpts, the 4-inch modern sculpt and the O-ring. But just grabbing a neon figure and, oh, look at how weird this neon is, doesn't seem all that interesting. And you really, at this point, threw me off when you said, if we're going to go weird, let's go a little deeper. Read the cards.
I really wanted to avoid the obvious, well, this guy's weird because he's a desert specialist in neon yellow or what. That stuff is fine and that stuff is fun, but I don't think that it necessarily makes the best conversation about the weirdness of Cobra. There are certainly stuff in both of our scales that only exist in our own scales that just is super cool, but is also at the same time what the hell?
I found it really difficult when you mentioned it, but the minute I sat down and tried, I found finding weird Cobra really easy. Especially with the assignment you gave of look a little deeper than just what color a figure is.
I grabbed my Kavanaugh rank and file books, and I'm flipping through everything. And I had a couple ideas in my mind of things that are weird or out of the ordinary. The problem is in the golden days, in the best era when Hama was writing the file cards. Sure, there's zany. Sure, there's weird. But the guy made everything make sense.
That's right.
This isn't even that weird, but this is where my brain had initially went. But, you know, a snow serpent is an eel and a paratrooper. And it's so much, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think when you think of an Arctic specialist of the frogman.
But it works. He built off of everything. So there was an eliteness to the elite of the elite. And that's why I was saying it became easy is once you get past Larry's file cards, they're all weird.
I think I'll roll us in with one that is weird in concept for me, and it is one of my favorite figures. It doesn't exist in your world, and that's the Jungle Viper, which is essentially a jungle sniper with this super high-tech, super futuristic, active camouflage that sort of looks like a Gundam, sort of looks like other things. It is weird to me in the idea of, you know, jungle warfare is hot and humid and wet and nasty, and you're trying to make it through the jungle. But this guy, it has this insane contraption that clips to his arms, it comes out of his backpack, it covers his face. The thing has to weigh, even if it was space age steel, you're looking at a minimum of 100 pounds.
He's got a stink.
And not to mention, his rifle is, I always thought it was just made up, but J.E. Russell informed us that it is actually a real gun that was built that takes multiple people to operate and it will shoot through a tank.
I would have loved this at the 3 3/4 O-ring. I really would have loved this at that scale. And I don't know how they would have made it work.
Probably would have been cloth.
Sure, Ambush had the netting and everything, and Raptor had the wings, but I would have loved this at 3 3/4.
I love seeing how specialized they got in the 3 3/4, and I feel like part of where the modern era kind of shines is we, I was on the team. They sort of, you know, I've talked about this before, but they really started to focus on like environmental specific, not just like, okay, Snowjob is our Arctic guy, but we got Shipwreck in like amazing Arctic gear. There was a great period of time where they really explored some things, and, you know, and that's how we got the Jungle Viper. He kind of was like, could have, you know, easily been the new version of a Night Viper with a different name, but then they gave us the Night Viper. So it all worked out the same in the end. Now I have Night Vipers in green, and I have a Jungle Viper.
Yeah.
Who's your first weird man in the draft?
You know, honestly, as I said, once I left Larry's file cards, it was pretty easy, and I really just stuck to 93 and 94. So since I only pulled one from 94, I'm going to start there, and that's Black Star. I think Black Star is an incredible figure. I love the build. I love the look. He's amazing. If he was cheaper, I'd army build 10 of them. His gear is 94 gear, so that is what it is. But what's crazy about Black Star is that his file card says that there is a Black Star unit. There is a group of Black Stars, but he is not an army builder. He is a singular person out of the Black Star unit. He is the best of the best of the Black Star unit. He's the most insane, and there's rumors that he may not even be human under the helmet of the Black Star unit. That unit is already the best of space combat. They live in space like they're on Earth, and they fly and they shoot outside and inside vehicles. They are the elite of space combat, and he is the elite of that group. I find it interesting that in the midst of building a troop builder, whoever wrote this card said, nah, make this man just one. It's goofy. It's unnecessary. They could have just said the Black Star unit is blah, blah, blah. But they actually took the time to put in a couple qualifying sentences of this ain't a builder.
Like, it's kind of a builder, but actually, I think we will make it a standalone character, but you know, 3/4 of his file card will tell you otherwise.
And he never made it into the 4-inch modern architecture, right?
No.
That's a shame, because he's such a good character. If you gave him some appropriate equipment, he would be phenomenal.
If they would have done the modern update to Black Star, I would have really wanted them to follow like the zany color breaks. Obviously, we don't need that spring-loaded missile launcher in either scale. I feel like there was so much potential exploring that true sci-fi space, especially with this, with the is he half-human, is he whatever. Like, you could have thrown in some bat parts, you know, made some new bat parts. You know, obviously there's a lot of like, I wish this would have happened, I wish that would have happened with the club and stuff. And they were obviously always slightly limited by tooling budgets. And, you know, the more that these independent companies are, you know, showing us the insides, like they're showing us what it actually costs to make figures. I mean, Carson literally puts it out there.
Right.
It kind of changed my perspective a little bit. I guess I don't know, would I have rather had Hasbro proper give us a Black Star with a bunch of new tooling and new accessories, or would I rather have had kind of a cobbled together box set featuring this type of stuff? And I really, you could ask me today and I'll give you one answer. You could ask me tomorrow, I'll give you another one. I don't know, but it is a shame that we never got Black Star.
I'm assuming that you could probably build one out of either Boss Fight or Marauders at this point. I'm not sure how I would go about building a Jungle Viper out of 3 3/4 bits without sitting down and having someone 3D print some equipment. So yeah, Black Star is definitely on my list of just weird file cards. Great figure, though. I love that figure.
I think for my next one, I'm going to throw out maybe one of the weirdest concepts file card-wise, which is the Crimson Guard Immortal.
Okay.
Crimson Guard as a whole is like a, you know, a funny idea of like, you know, whether you get into the clone aspect of it, you know, the Freds, or whether you just look at it like you have these sleeper cell dudes, you know, the super prestigious guard, but they're also everywhere. And, you know, a lot of them are in finances and this and that, but specifically the Crimson Guard Immortal are like our build as, you know, Cobra Commander's private security. I believe the file card says something about like, super tactical, invasive missions and all this other stuff. It just always comes down to me with the financial expert side of it, because you don't normally think, you know, your financial guy being this like super elite warrior. And that's why I specifically went with the Immortal, because they really lean into it in the file card. You know, they really beef him up. The modern equivalent, you know, they gave him the Crimson Guard flag. They retooled that weird double missile launcher, single handle, whatever the hell that thing is. At least it's not spring loaded. That's a gorgeous looking figure, both in O-ring and the one modern interpretation. It's a very distinct, pronounced, like, it looks like the leader of the Crimson Guard. You know, he's decked out head to toe in all this awesome combat gear. Just makes me laugh to think that, like, you know, he takes the gear off and goes and hits the Cobra clerk's office. And it's like, we need to make sure that, like, this is running a little bit more financially efficient. But also, I'm going to take my lunch and I'm going to go and invade G.I. Joe headquarters.
They count every bullet. It gets back to Larry versus not Larry. The original file card mentions how they're elite troopers that are also required to have like a law or accounting or some sort of professional degree, that they're too important to waste on the battlefield, so they're dispersed throughout the country to live this double life. And then when you get to where we're at now in the 90s and the Immortal, it's the nuance is removed. And they just double down on the basics to the point of it's ludicrous. I love the figure in 3 3/4. I don't know that I've ever experienced one at the 4-inch scale. I'll have to look it up. But I know at 3 3/4, it's a gorgeous figure.
I wish that he was a bit easier to come by. I have one, and it took me a while to find one, and I thought it was coming with the card back. Didn't come with the card back, and I like got really sour, and then I went and looked at the eBay listing, and it was pictured with the card back, but in the description it said, no card back. That being said, I'm only bringing up this long-winded story to be like, I have never seen one at Joe Fest that I can remember in all the years I've been there.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I would have realistically probably bought a second one. I have kind of fallen into a weird zone where I'm buying army builders that are at a price point I never thought I would. But he's one of those club figures that, in my opinion, is like just truly a home run. And I feel like that's why he doesn't pop up. There are plenty of great club figures that you can find in abundance, but he's one of them that I haven't been able to really find.
Wow.
So when I get my stuff set up and I can start working on stuff, like, he's definitely going to be like the guy for the Crimson Guards. There's two main different versions of the modern Crimson Guard. There was a 25th and there's some paint variants in there, but then there's the Retaliation Ultimate. So you can kind of build, I have a pretty good setup of, like, you know, here's the more ceremonial guys, here's the more combat guys, and I have the combat leader, Crimson Guard Immortal. It's a shame that he wasn't a mass release figure, because I would have probably bought like 25 of them. So who is next for you?
Let's go with the Flak Viper. The Flak Viper, I mean, it came in two colorways between 92 and 93. It's not a super popular character. It's a little goofy. Some people like one color versus the other. The backpack is a spring-loaded launcher. But I chose the Flak Viper not because of any of that, but because on their file card, especially if you think about it from when this came out to today's time, it's even funnier. They're wearing surface-to-air missiles on their back. This is not meant to fight Joes on the ground. They are meant to ride around on vehicles like the Parasite and fire up at overhead combatants. And to train for that, they put a cartridge into their helmets so that they can essentially play an altered reality video game through their helmets for 10 hours a day to become experts at being these human surface-to-air missile weapons. But the way the file card's written is, imagine if you had to play a video game for 10 hours a day.
And every kid was jumping up and down and cheering.
Today with esports, people are like, only 10? So it just cracks me up.
Before you get too far into that, what are the two colorways? There's like a neon reddish and green, and like the teal and green.
Yeah, the Flak Viper from 92 is the green and gray and blue. And the one from 93 is orange and green and gray.
So which do you prefer?
And strangely, the one from 2006 is just tan, but I've never owned one of those. I have both. Neither are offensive to me. I think the colorway's argument's silly. I think the green and gray is a little more muted and basic, but I love the orange, so I'm good either way. It's a goofy character. It's a goofy backpack. That age, if I could have played video games for 10 hours a day, I would have been a Flak Viper.
I mean, for me, I think if I was collecting in this wheelhouse, I would probably use the orange one as like a squad leader and then have four of the green ones behind him.
I have seen that more than once.
That's kind of how my brain, always functions in these settings where it's like, how can I figure out a way to spend more money that isn't necessary? The Flak Viper never made it into the 4-inch scale, which I like, at least for now, we're kind of having this dynamic. And I have seen a handful of customs of Flak Vipers over the years on Geo Customs and stuff.
I'm assuming that when people did customs, they used the same like 4-missile pack that they use for Fast Draw.
Yeah, so that originally came with a Pursuit of Cobra Duke, and then it was Fast Draw, it was Metalhead. I think those might be the only three. You know, don't crucify me if I'm wrong, but for me, that's kind of where I'm glad in a weird way. I mean, obviously, I wish they would have made everybody, but if my options were just like a basic Frank and Joe with that backpack, I'm kind of happy that he doesn't exist.
Right.
I really, truly have no idea how I could pitch or design the modern interpretation of that backpack, because I would not want just like a 25th style, like, we recasted the backpack but changed the backpack. I really don't know. That is an insane concept that I just don't know.
They could always take the missile from Vintage Adder, slap it onto a backpack, put it on his back. It'd be ridiculous looking, but it'd be better than just reusing that Fast Draw backpack.
I would want them to really lean into the backpack to be just stupid. I would want the missile to be like, you know, he's going up with it. It's over. He's done. You know, like
one of those things where it needs like a kickstand off the backpack.
Yes.
So he plants both feet, drops like the extra kickstand or the extra support leg, and then fires off.
Yeah. Or, you know, kind of maybe borrow from that, like whatever that weird 90s Duke is where his like he can sit atop of his,
oh, Jesus.
His device.
Yeah. The crotch cannon Duke is not. if this was weird G.I. Joe instead of Cobra, he certainly would have made it there for that one.
My next weirdo is the Desert Scorpion. Not because he comes with a robotic scorpion where he can take the claws off and put them on his hand. According to the file card, they took troopers that couldn't follow orders, made them learn this new specialty, and there's two ways it could go. You spend a year as a Desert Scorpion, and then you can go back to your original unit, whether it's a Viper, Trooper, whatever, or if you continue to piss people off, they send you to the Leaky Supergade, the Taxel Vipers. If you lean into the cartoon universe, right, all those troopers are awful. It's got to be like a constant reoccurring, okay, well, you guys graduated Cobra Boot Camp, you've been in the field for 6 months, you guys all suck, now we're sending you to Desert Scorpion School while we bring the new guys in, and then you can either come back or you're going to end up being a Taxo Viper until you become a Taxo Zombie.
I find it odd that if you can't cut it as a Viper, you go to a MOS that you have to control a robot pet and you can parts form with it. That's wild. The Vintage and the Fun School Desert Scorpion are great figures. They've got a little bit of cloth on them. They don't have the removable claws that they can put on their hands. I didn't know that that was a thing of the modern Desert Scorpion. But they do have a lot of little parts that are either hard to find or you end up with reproduction versions of them. So the Desert Scorpion's price is a little elevated just from the difficulty of finding one complete. I love that figure. And it is one that is, in its complete form, is missing from our collection. I should probably rectify that at one of our shows.
Absolutely. the Modern's a hard one for me. It's not my favorite build, but I do. I have one, and I love it because of what it is, and I love the design. And eventually, I will probably try to rebuild him with some better parts. His body is pretty dated, but that Scorpion is something else. I don't know if it's a middle year Scorpion or what it is. It's got to be, because there's no way the club tooled that Scorpion. But I'll send you a link so you can look at this after we record, because the Scorpion is, I believe, definitely different than the Scorpion you would have. I've always liked the concept of that, and as a kid, I would have eaten that up all day. I would have tried to get as many as I could have, and I would have had, you know, the unit with, I would have had the Scorpions everywhere.
So you just sent me a picture. Is that Scorpion the actual Scorpion that came with Modern, or is that a custom thing?
No, that's the Modern.
Holy crap, that's wild. That's incredible. I want a bunch of those.
I'll do some research and chat with you about it another time, but I don't know where that Scorpion comes from. In my mind, it has to be a middle years thing. I don't know, though, because I just can't imagine that they, like, would have built that, you know. Who's next in your list?
The next one is Nitro Viper. I don't know if the Nitro Viper made it to the Modern line or if the Track Viper did. Same build, different color. The Nitro Viper is the orange version of the Track Viper. It came with the Detonator, which is already kind of a weird and wild vehicle because it shoots off oversized Nerf missiles. But the Nitro Viper's claim to fame is that it's the only AROF figure that did not have a file card. And so someone wrote a file card. I guess it was accepted in some sort of manner. The lore is a little fuzzy to me right now. Don't quote me on whether Hasbro accepted it or not. But the file card made it into a G.I. Joe convention magazine in like 1994 or 5. The file card is crazy. It says that the Nitro Vipers are Track Vipers who love blowing up stuff so much that they worry other Cobra. And so, if you're one of these explosion-happy Track Vipers that your teammates don't want to be around, you apply to be a detonator driver, and to get accepted, you have to bomb arcades and amusement parks that have people in them at the time. Wow.
I think that took a shift from weird to just evil.
a bit dark, yeah. It's a very cool figure. The Track Viper itself, the head is a little small to be a helmeted head, but it came with the Hiss 2, and it was really neat. The Nitro Viper is just an orange version of it. Looks great. Comes with a hard-to-find pistol. And the file card is hard to get because you have to get the magazine. I've seen the magazine go from $5 to $100 in the same week. I guess if you know, you know. I have a couple of the magazine. I have a couple of the loose cards. I only have one complete Nitro Viper because the gun is hard to get. I love the figure, but that file card is wild.
So the Track Viper, I don't know if that's what they called him on the box, but the Track Viper did make an appearance on the Modern line. It was in the Rise of Cobra line. It came with the Steel Crusher APC, which is that awesome armored-up Humvee that we've talked about a few times. You know, I don't own him. I have two Steel Crushers. So, yeah, the Modern Track Viper was just kind of like a favor, you know, a really fun toss-in for older fans because it was, you know, it's tied in with the Rise of Cobra movie. He was not in the movie.
Okay.
The Rise of Cobra line kind of, because it had such a wide scope. You know, Greg from Anything Joe's and I, when I was on their show doing the Modern Breakdown Part 1, we kind of touched base on that where I avoided the Rise of Cobra line for a long time when I was first collecting because the movie was so bad. And, you know, you look at the movie figures and you're like, whatever, this is trash. But when you really look, there were quite a few, like, absolutely solid Easter eggs tossed in there that they made their way into the line in the modern way, you know, in the modern format in ways that they never would have before because, you know, clearly we're not going to get a single carded Track Viper. They weren't going to, we've never seen the Hiss 2 reused. So, you know, I guess I have a little bit of love for that figure just based on that. I love the, you know, the more I got into the brand, you know, once I started kind of stepping past just buying the action figures as an adult, that was kind of like a real reward, is when I would start to figure out who all these like weird random figures were that meant nothing to me. It's like, oh, well, that's actually a character from the original run. It's not just somebody they made up and tossed in to drive this, you know, Humvee.
It's so weird what does and doesn't make it to the modern line or in how it makes it. At some point, I'm going to have to start walking down that path. But for now, I'm going to stick to my 93 blowing up arcades and amusement parks with kids inside. Nitro Vipers, I guess.
I guess I'm going to throw in a fourth one. And this one is just weird all the way around, right down from appearance to gear. What I really want to highlight on the weirdness is not just the absolute weirdness of look at the figure, but who in the writer's room was like, you know, this like South American or Brazilian sport that like we really don't know in this country, that would make one hell of a grenade throwing device. Let's take that and let's make it mechanical. Let's give it an auto feeding grenades down. Let's tie it into some crazy sci-fi stuff in this giant bug helmet. The weirdness factor for me is, I mean, the whole figure is a whole, and that's why I kind of saved him for the last, is kind of like a fun one where that it really is just leaning into the absurdity of this figure. Who the hell was working in the writer's room when that came out is what I want to know.
I did not have the Frag Viper as a kid. My cousin did. And I loved playing with that figure and slinging the grenades, going over, and I would take over that figure. It's a great figure from the vintage line. It's another one that I don't think it's too hard to find complete, but it comes with a few grenades that are easily lost. I don't remember the file card, so I don't remember how crazy that is. But that hook sling was always something as a kid I loved, and then we would try to replicate that in the woods to absolutely no success. I also have a fourth, and that one is the Cyber Viper. The Cyber Viper, like the Frag Viper, it's just wild from the figure. It's wild from the jump. It does suffer from sprue weapons, but the figure itself is really weird. And I know a lot of people hate that figure because it's greens and yellows and it's odd as hell looking. I personally love it. I love all the Mega Marines and the Mega Monsters. The reason why I chose the Cyber Viper, all that withstanding, he's half robot, half man. Or their, because it's a builder, their brains and their bodies were enhanced by Dr. Mindbender so that they could help control with their cybernetic brains and body parts. They can help Dr. Mindbender control the mega monsters. So they are troopers that are meant to go out and cause crazy havoc and damage with their enhanced bodies and their half-robot bodies. And then with their half-robot brains, they're also controlling the Bio and the Monstro Vipers. I adore this figure, and it is goofy as all hell. I don't think this is another one that made it to the modern line.
Well, it did. Just does not look the same.
Okay.
So, I sent you a link, and in the Pursuit of Corba line, they did two mechs, and they made a Franken Joe for both of them. But yes, the Cyber Viper has bio-cybernetic implants, which allow them to organically interface with computerized systems like the highly advanced Cobra Deviant Mobile Mech Suit.
I have that.
Yes, so you have the modern Cyber Viper. You just didn't know that it was a Cyber Viper because if you put the figures next to each other, why the hell would you?
Well, that, and it looks like the modern version is wearing a Night Creeper chest piece.
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got Zartan legs, Night Creeper chest gear, and the Wild Weasel head.
Perfect.
But he's painted up awesome. He's a dynamite figure. I love that figure. I love that mech. You know, I really didn't know this until when you said Cyber Viper, I Googled it so I could have a frame of reference, and I was like, oh shit, what a pleasant surprise.
It's so wildly disparate from the Cyber Viper I knew. And I can't imagine in today's collecting world how they got away with this completely unrelated Cyber Viper back then without the community losing their shit over it not being one-to-one. That said, the modern is a very pretty figure. I would never in my entire life connect this to the Mega Monsters Cyber Viper, though.
Well, I mean, without the file card, neither did I. I have the figure. It shows you that I, like, read that it was called a Cyber Viper when I got the box and put zero thought into it. This is not the first time we've talked about the Cyber Viper. I mean, it's the first time we've talked about it on air, but we have talked about the Cyber Viper in the past.
And evidently, I didn't make a connection then either. It's so disparate that having five or six 93 Cyber Vipers, knowing the name Cyber Viper, I didn't put this together in our previous conversations. I didn't put this together even as I pull up the picture. I will probably forget that these are related in name by next week.
I'd say by tomorrow, but that's besides the point. It is not that weird in today's world to think of the modern iteration of the Cyber Viper. It's kind of has that like Pacific Rim type vibe where they're connected to their mechs or whatever. But I am very proud of us for drafting up this list and really sticking to our guns of like, even if the figure is completely outlandish, Frag Viper, which, by the way, did make it into the modern run. It was part of a convention box set, and I have a lot of them because they're awesome. And they even did the foreign repaint version in the modern line as well.
The Latal?
Yes, in his bright green glory. I love that for the fact that the Frag Vipers and Latal were paired with Night Force.
Okay. I'm down with that.
I just love the idea of it's supposed to be battling at night. You know, and the club followed original paint jobs, so you've got the mix, right? The fact, like, you know, the leader of the Frag Vipers is in neon green.
They made a talking commander, Latal, from Brazil, into the Frag Viper commander against the Night Vipers, or the Night Force Joes.
Yes.
I love that. That's fantastic.
In the same box set, we had a new Cobra character named Crimson Asp, and also we got the Cobra Mortal with white head-to-toe with a chrome head. I love it. I love the idea that, you know, two of the main baddies that are coming after the Night Force
glow in the dark.
Yeah, one is in white with a chrome head. And then the other one is, you know, in fluorescent green. Even in Crimson Asp, she is in a like muted green paired with like the same green as Latal.
I love that. I love it not because they put lime green in with Night Force, but just that they came up with a new character, Asp, and they brought in the foreign in a way that works with the unit. It's what I want to see from G.I. Joe. I want to see us take the original concepts of A-Raw and build upon them for today's world and make them their own, tweaked slightly or tweaked a lot in a way that is refreshing and gives me new ideas. I do like this Cyber Viper, although I would never put it in the same frame as the 90s Cyber Viper. I love this crazy robot scorpion, and I love everything you're telling me about Latal, Mortal, and Asp in against the Night Force. As we went through this was about the wackiness, the weirdness of Cobra, and we could have gone in a lot of different directions. I'm glad we looked at the file cards so that we could really see the top-down management of Cobra, not from the mass device or the weird acid that destroys the Eiffel Tower in the movies, but in the HR department and in their generals and commanders, like placing units and making wild decisions on who they put in the field and how. You know, these guys like to blow up amusement parks, give them a detonator. These guys are insubordinate, give them a robot scorpion. It's beyond me. And I love this level of Cobra.
The zaniness has always been there. I do want to throw a little praise to the club because they really did find a way to incorporate a lot of cool foreign stuff that I had no idea was foreign, really, until you and I became friends, you know, specifically with the Sky Patrol stuff. I thought the characters that they threw in that box set looked awesome. And you're like, and you're telling me these names, and I'm like, wait a minute, hold up.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was like a, kind of a really fun coincidence that we both collected those figures in our respective categories at the same time. But yeah, I mean, the club definitely did that, you know, and they actually translated those file cards. They kind of kept it true.
They built upon what was there. Yeah, it was really great. And that we did those figures for the last Cobra Convergence.
Ah, yes, that's true.
We couldn't do them for this one, even though it would have also fit the bill. Knocking on the front door and then running around to the back to rob the house. Those are some wild file cards. It's a great reminder of how weird, how zany, how crazy Cobra is. Even as weird and zany as Mindbender and Raptor, under the steady guidance of Hama, it all seemed to fit and we bought into it really well. But once he wasn't writing the file cards, the nuance was gone and we just marvel at the oddity and how everyone is almost superhumanly weird.
A good story, whether it's comic, movie, or backstory, can sell you on anything.
Oh, sure.
You know, as a kid, when you read those file cards, you believed every word. You know, the joke that always gets thrown around about, like, you know, comics versus cartoons, blah, 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 blah. Like, we can all say whatever we want to say as adults, but we all know as kids. You know, when I was reading middle years file cards, that built some play patterns.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you, they're not great cards.
Cobra Convergence allowed us a reason to go back and reconnect with some of the crazier bits. And I can truly say, you know, make my Cobra weird and keep my Cobra zany. I love it.
Absolutely.